is you, RN.
We're going to be having a nice little natter about sort of Eurovision news. And so for that, we'll be passing over to Specialist, Rachel.
And this is Specialist because I love Eurovision so much. If you don't know me, and you're going to have fun. You're going to have fun meeting me in Eurovision week. I'm going to tell you that right now. So this week is a very, very important week in Eurovision because it's basically where loads and loads of people, or loads and loads of countries, are picking their Eurovision song. Obviously, Eurovision happening in the UK this year, and I am vibrating with excitement about it. I love it. So specifically, one of the big things that are happening this week is San Remo, which is the Italy, like, Eurovision Song Contest, like, Eurovision Song Contest, like, regional contest. So what that basically means is that, so I think Italy has four nights, or five nights even, where they get loads and loads of Italian representatives and people to, like, say their Eurovision song. And, yeah, like, the whole country kind of it's like a whole, like, international event. It can be streamed pretty much anywhere, and everyone kind of comes together and says, yeah, this is my favorite song from Italy. And so Italy's not the only country that's coming forward with songs this, like, that choosing their songs this week. We also have Czech Republic, Malta, Estonia, Romania, Denmark, Lithuania, Sweden, Croatia, and Latvia. So very, very busy week for Eurovision.
What I find really interesting about what you just said is the fact that every country holds their, like, their own auditions, apart from the UK.
So
you just pick someone from behind the scenes, which is really weird.
Not all countries have that, but that was kind of what I was going to ask the room, going, like, so you know how, like, Italy does stuff, Malta does stuff very similar. I think Sweden have, like, Melodian Festival. We used to have a Eurovision song, or, like, Eurovision, like, regional contest called Eurovision You Decide. And the songs that were put forward didn't really do very well. But obviously, having Sam Ryder's success last year, I'm going to open it up to a question for the room. How do you think our Eurovision song should be picked, and or why?
Well, I suppose I'll start off because I probably know the least in the room about this. I mean, I think it makes sense for it to have some sort of public participation. Obviously, you don't want a song that is not in any capacity sort of representative of the nation, which came out really sort of in a patriotic sense. But no, I'm not advocating that our sort of Eurovision Song Contest song be God Save the King. But, I mean, that would be interesting if you had, like, some rock metal twist of it, I suppose. But anyways, glossing past that, I think that, you know, honestly, I think Eurovision should have more less serious entries, just something that just you hear it and you think, yes, that is the United Kingdom. So, you know, if I hear sort of but then again, what I have stuck in my head, and listeners, feel free to sort of message in and say, wow, I'm, you know, incredibly stupid. What I have it stuck in my head is sort of performing Binley Mega Chippy, sort of the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, that's as far as sort of my brain power can sort of extend to. So I'm very quickly going to pass it on to someone who is much more musically knowledgeable.
Hello there. I am the person who is apparently much more musically knowledgeable. See, I have to say, it's a tough one, because, as Rachel has alluded to, when it was democratically chosen, we didn't do particularly well.
And we've also never done particularly well.
We came second.
Yeah, most recent. And we would have won had the situation that was going on in Ukraine not been happening. Whether that is an... whether that's an unfair assumption or not is up to you, but I think the general consensus is that the UK's entry was the best entry, which, credit to Sam Ryder as well, he was absolutely brilliant and has really come into his own since. So fair play to him. But I think that there should be some input, but I think it should be done in a half and half capacity or something of the like, where you get some public input, but there's also some sort of judging whereby you potentially had preliminary rounds that were public, and then the final few rounds were judged by professionals or whatever. Is but that way you get some public input.
Is that almost a bit X Factory?
It's that kind of idea. So X Factor for Eurovision. E Factor or something,
maybe, aren't
they?
Maybe we should,
well,
England
I think
factor.
A lot of the X Factor type situations in different European countries are that, like, the winner gets to go on Eurovision.
Yeah, I think that's what Malta did.
Which I think makes some sense, in that you get some public input, but the final round or few rounds would be judged more professionally. And that would allow us to have the public input to represent the UK whilst still keeping some semblance of professionalism. So you don't get someone who is just a joke going all the way through.
So you don't get people who sing Bin the Mega Chippy, or you don't get the Apple Crumble Lady. Do any of you remember that?
Everybody's good at cooking something, I hear.
Oh, honestly, that is always stuck in my brain. But Eurovision's an interesting one, because it's not something that I really had sort of consciously on my radar until about last year, because I do a culture show, the theme of which is I don't know anything. And we had a Eurovision special last year, and we had a very lovely member of the radio called Isabel Morris coming to discuss about Eurovision as well. But yeah, I still didn't really learn much from that. I don't really get the point system. From what I can gather, this might be a whole sort of deep dive altogether.
It's a long story, so we won't explain it.
It makes sense.
To my knowledge, it just seems to, like, every nation votes for their favourite nation.
No.
Which is why we always do bad.
No.
Yeah?
No.
It can be quite political. It's also to a degree based on who you don't want to win, who you do want to win, not just because of politics, because you think they're good. So there's all sorts of reasons why you would or wouldn't vote for someone, and then there's a public vote as well.
And then you have Greek and Cyprus.
Yeah. They exist. And Australia.
Wait, is Australia in Europe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, because obviously the most European country I know. I
mean, it was because of the anniversary. They were added because they just loved Eurovision so much. It makes sense.
The Americans did their own Eurovision between all the different states, and it was awful.
That was funny.
What did you expect?
Amerovision. What did they even call that?
It was like,
I think the American Song Contest.
But it was never going to be good. That's half the fun. They should have leaned into the stupidity.
Well, especially considering, you know, some sort of the reputation of some US states, I think would have lended sort of quite well to that.
Yeah, but a lot of the entries that UK put in the past were really, really bad. That's why everyone's so excited about Sam Ryder, because
he was really, really good.
Yeah. Really, really good.
I mean, like, our 2017 one, and that was public decided, that was quite good. I think Lucy Jones is now playing, like, Elphaba in West End or something, so that was good.
Fair play, that's impressive.
It is impressive, isn't it? But no, so, like...
Yeah, but we've got the... It's quite annoying, because apart from last year, we have, like, obviously one of the biggest music industries in the world, and yet we can't win Eurovision.
I think, honestly, the UK needs to take a risk. They need to get someone who's a live presence, not necessarily a good songwriter, but they need to get someone who will turn up and put on a show.
And that was what Sam Ryder
like,
did.
Sam Ryder turned up and was very good live. I think you need... Obviously, I'm not saying you should have a band like Skindred or Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, but having seen them live, they would probably do better at Eurovision than most, if not all, of our previous entrants that haven't done anything, because they look good live.
I think there are some rules on whether you can be attached to a label or something. Like,
yeah, that's the issue.
But the former Sex Pistol, known as Johnny Rotten previously, who's now, I think, John Lydon,
yes.
I believe, did the sort of Malta the situation that they do in Malta in Ireland, where... No, it's not the X Factor thing, it's more like just they perform on a night and then the Irish public vote, but he failed, his band failed to get the Irish
I think they got second or something.
They got fourth.
They did well but didn't get there,
and I think that's quite interesting, the idea of former bands, for people known within the industry even giving it a shot. I don't know whether that says something about the position of John Lydon's career, because I've heard that a lot of I've heard that a lot of up and coming bands don't want to do Eurovision because of the perception of it all being like a certain type of person or show and all these sort of stereotypes.
Yeah, I think so. In terms of like celebrity status, in 2021, I think it's North Macedonia, Senhit and Flo Rida, they did a song together, and like Flo Rida.
I remember this.
Yeah, and they had like they got like three votes from the public, and it was expected to be like this massive, massive thing, like Wee Wee Blogs, which is the main thing.
Do you think
thing.
That's because of sort of the authenticity of
I
it?
I think so.
So the idea of just like flown this big American rapper, because her song would have been good without him.
It was good without him. But yeah, I think it is like an absolutely massive thing. So. You have to tread the line very, very finely with Eurovision. So, you mentioned before that the UK has a very, very good, music scene, and we went quite, British summary-esque with the James Newman's Embers. and all that.
Really, really bad.
It got them 0 points.
The first time we ever got nil points.
Yeah, nil points.
I remember that. That was a horrific.
It was so funny.
Ah, dear me.
I just remember like the massive trumpets on stage. Like, but what are they doing?
So
do they want? Like, literally, do they want us to get 0 points? Because I don't know.
So we don't have to host.
I mean, it worked. Okay.
They honestly say that there is some sort of conspiracy that the BBC send the worst act because it is the BBC that decides.
Yeah.
Sorry?
No, sorry, I'm just fascinated that it's the BBC who pick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the idea that they purposefully send horrible acts they don't have to pay to host it.
Yeah. I think that we had a lot of good popular songwriters on that. So I think like the likes of Sigala or something, like really, really big acts. I can't think of any more. But I remember reading it and I was like, oh, this person's quite famous. They've all charted to some respect. And them getting all low, they put a lot of like effort into it. But then just live, they just failed. And I find that really, really interesting that they spent so much money paying all these really famous songwriters for their time and for their creative processes just to butcher it at the end.
We're on campus and we're online.
We're online.
University.
Radio.
Nottingham.